Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to All Things Internet. This is a show where we talk about things we see on the internet. It usually have to do with the internet. And Emily fact checks 98.3% of the time. I upped you this time. Last time it was 97%.
I'll take it.
I'm Rachel Ballinger. That is, insert name here,
Emily Brostaff.
And we are going to talk about things now. I need to figure out an intro.
I gave you a good intro. It's definitely shorter than the one you just used.
Me winging it, I can talk for hours. You give me you give me two sentences to memorize, it's over. I'm not going to be able to do it.
We'll just put it on a big poster board behind your computer.
That would work.
There we go.
All right. In my room today, I have Blaze joining us. Say hi, Blaze. He doesn't care. Do you have Daisy?
I do. She's right
there.
Next to you.
Perfect. Yep. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I had a busy day today, but I'm chilling. I like it.
Good.
And I have a dinner I have to leave this house for in an hour. So
we gotta go fast.
Our podcasts aren't an hour long. They're 45 minutes.
Although the people are demanding they be longer.
I don't have the time.
All we do is talk.
Every minute of my life is spent talking in front of a camera. I don't have any more time to talk in front of a camera.
I think we can settle on 45 minutes for now.
Are podcasts longer than 45 minutes? I feel like that's a normal amount of time for a podcast.
I feel like some of the really big ones are like 60 minutes, like every time.
I can't do it. I would just fall over.
Yeah, attention span isn't there.
I am forced to sit in this chair for 45 minutes. I can't do a minute longer. It's not possible.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, let's stop the jibber jabber, even though that's my favorite part. Talk about whatever news you'd like to talk about.
Okay. Only big news this week.
No blurbs.
Okay. So first story we're going to talk about is TikTok. I almost said Tic Tac.
What's your favorite flavor of Tic Tac? It's also been a long time. What's your favorite flavor of Tic Tac?
Whatever the white ones are, like the minty ones.
Those ones are the best to freshen your breath, but the orange is the best tasting.
I don't like orange flavored things. I like oranges.
I have a question. Have you tried the orange Tic Tacs? There it is! No, she has not!
I will give it a go. I feel like that's a good food.
That's the next one. Next time you cuss, your consequence is eating an orange Tic Tac.
Oh, darn. Anyway, all right. TikTok has launched a new feature that allows users across the world to make videos up to 10 minutes long. It's not available to all users yet, but it should be quite soon.
They're just turning into YouTube, but not paying their content creators as much as YouTube does.
Ding, ding, ding. You got it.
I mean, I hope that it takes off so people's attention spans gets longer again and they can go back to YouTube. Because right now, no one's attention span is lasting on YouTube. They just can't do it, which I understand.
Right.
And neither can I. I also can't even handle the 3-minute videos on TikTok.
I am medicated, so I have an abnormally large attention span. So I can sit there and watch like 10, 15-minute videos on YouTube, but I understand the general public cannot.
Yeah, but like TikTok is just YouTube, but they're not paying their content creators as much.
Right. Okay, so as someone that is not a content creator on TikTok, I can't comment on what's going on behind the scenes, but if you are comfortable sharing, what is like the difference between YouTube and TikTok as far as being a creator that makes your money?
I'm gonna calculate real quick. Hold on. I make 1% of what I make on YouTube on TikTok. 1%. Now, if you're like,
and
JoJo,
you,
And I post.
You have 1.8 million on TikTok too.
Yes. If I were like JoJo, because JoJo and I talk about money and whatever and what numbers I have to hit and blah, blah, blah. If she posts three times a day and each one goes viral, she makes more money on TikTok than YouTube. But that's because her YouTube videos like don't go viral like that. Okay. So to make a substantial, to make the equal amounts of money or more on TikTok than YouTube, you have to post three times a day and they each have to get over 10 million views. So each of your videos three times a day have to go viral in order for you to make more money on TikTok. Because TikTok, they created this thing called the Creator Fund. And they just, TikTok, I'm going to come up with an arbitrary number because I don't remember what it is. But they're like, okay, here's $10 million in this fund. Okay, now we'll disperse that throughout the creators. And so when more creators get verified and come into the funds don't increase. People just have to get less each person. Each creator has to get less money. So if like, it's just me. I'm just making up things here. If it was just me and my sister, we'd both get $5 million because there's $10 million in the fund. But then add, you know, 10 people, we only get $1 million each. And it just keeps going down. And TikTok keeps getting bigger. More creators keep coming on. And so everyone's making less and less money, which is like, you know, I'm not mad at the people coming on. TikTok is somehow brilliantly getting away with not adding more money and paying people less. Even though now ads are showing up like crazy, because before they were like, well, we don't do ads. How would we make money? We don't do ads. I get ads every five swipes up. Yep. So TikTok has the money. They have the ability, but they're paying people way less. And you have to be crazy, like crazy good at going viral constantly in order to make actual living out of it. Where people make their money is lives and gifts. So their TikTok is being like, you can make lots of money. See, these people are making a living off of it, but they're relying on the fans and the viewers to send their content creators money.
That's not fair.
No, it's not fair at all. But that's
could you imagine if YouTube operated that way? Like
they wouldn't survive. And that's the thing. And so it's really hard because you'll see people like TikTokers make YouTube channels because they know that's where money is. And like, because you get, YouTube pays you for the ad and what type of ad it is. It doesn't matter how much money YouTube has or whatever. The ad you get, like if you're a consistent channel and a big channel, you'll get better ads. And so it really is based on performance and how long you've been on the platform and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it's not like, you know, this set amount and then we'll disperse it between everyone. It really, like TikTok, while they're genius because they got everyone addicted to it, they don't pay their creators enough. And that's, I mean, that sucks, but I understand, like, it's genius how they got away with it. So the fact
is that why, like, all the TikTok creators are flooding over to YouTube right now is because they're not being able to make a living on TikTok? Okay.
Yes. Because YouTube, you can make a lot of money on YouTube. I feel like we all know this. That's not a hidden fact. We all, if we've been on YouTube a while and we've, you know,
I made good money off of YouTube.
You made $1.37.
I made, don't jip me. I made $1.57.
Oh, my apologies. My apologies.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you can make money on YouTube. That's not
right.
That's a known fact. Like we have nice houses and stuff because we've been doing it a long time and you can do it if you're consistent. But TikTok, I mean, you can make money, but you have to be JoJo Siwa. And the D'Amelios and people like that. Like, you have to be the hype house or whatever they are.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, even not looking at it in the, like, creator fund aspect, like, I don't think this idea is going to go as well as they think it is because they've been training us for, how long has TikTok been out? Like, I don't even, like, 4 years?
Yeah, but it's been giant for about 2 to 3.
Okay, so for at least the past 2 to 3 years, they've been training us to have this incredibly short attention span so that they could purposely push out as much content as possible in order to keep the people on the app as long as possible.
Yes.
So,
because you could easily just go, I saw that video 3 times. Like, you could just see it 3 times, not register that you're seeing it 3 times. That ups 3 views, even though, like, you're only watching it really once. You've accidentally watched it 3 times and then keep swiping. And so TikTok has all these like great numbers and keeps people on.
Right. Well, and it's just like, if I don't like the video I'm watching, I know I can swipe and immediately be entertained a split second later. Whereas like YouTube, I have to go and dig and find a subject that I'm interested in and sit there and spend the
and
time watching it.
And sit and watch
it.
The ads. If you don't pay for YouTube Premium, you have to sit and watch the ads.
I'll never.
To see if, no, I to this day still don't have YouTube Premium. And it's I don't own YouTube, but I'm like, I am a YouTuber and I still don't have it.
Right.
But yeah. For YouTube, it's you find a creator you like. And you kind of stay to their channel.
Right.
It's very rare to kind of like go off of that. But yeah, TikTok is one
right.
A
so
split
why,
second
like,
away.
Why are they doing this? Like they've been purposely melding us into this perfect customer for at least two, 3 years. And now all
you
of a sudden they
want
to like.
You want to know why?
You want an attention span?
They're going to.
No,
I
tell me,
promise
tell me.
You. They're going to put ads in the middle of the TikTok you're watching.
There we go.
I promise. That is what's going to happen.
Right.
Instagram
but who's
gonna, started doing it
who's
on Reels.
Who's going to sit there and watch it, though? Like
they're going to train us. That's what they're doing. They're going to train us to be like we were when we watched YouTube.
I guess, yeah.
Like YouTube, wow. YouTube videos used to only be 2 to 5 minutes. YouTube videos back in the day, like back in the Cinnamon Challenge, the Harlem Shake, it was
right,
2 to 5 minutes max. And then it was like, okay, 5 to 8. And then if you push 10, you're like, that's a long video. And now
right.
YouTube videos, well, I still keep them relatively short, but that's my own attention span. Like a few years ago when Shane Dawson started releasing those docuseries, they were hours long and getting millions
of
views.
I watched every single second because it was so entertaining. And I know that's so bad and I shouldn't have, but it was so entertaining.
I watched a little bit of some. I couldn't. I don't have the attention span for it. But yeah. So like YouTube slowly got longer and longer and longer because we found out later that if your video was longer than 10 minutes, you could put ads in the middle of it.
Right.
And so that's why, okay, oh, if I post an hour, I can put 5 ads, 10 ads in it. Doesn't matter. So they're going to slowly train us to be that's what it is. And then hopefully everyone just goes back to YouTube.
Well, yeah, unless TikTok changes and starts paying everyone more. And then
yes.
if TikTok could match like what you're making on YouTube, do you think you would ever transfer over to TikTok solely?
Honestly, not if it's 10 minutes, then I'm just putting out the same. That's just I would transfer wherever the money is where I would kind of transfer to. That's just because I'm still creating content and that's where the viewers are. I'm not going to keep posting on YouTube if no one's watching it. And
right.
be like, I refuse to go over to TikTok. That doesn't make sense. And
right.
So if everyone's watching me on TikTok, I'll go there. But I mean, if they're both 10 minutes and I'm getting the same views on both, oh my God, I would just, in the same money, I would just have to post on both platforms. I don't know.
Oh God.
You're thinking about the work you have to do as my assistant.
I know. I'm like trying to calculate in my head.
Because right now it is easy to, it still requires work, but it is okay to do a 5 second TikTok, a 10 second TikTok, and my YouTube channel. But if I have to put out 10 minute pieces on TikTok and YouTube.
Where you have to fight for people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I kind of post like TikToks just mindlessly, like just when I want to have fun. And then I put like a lot of effort into the YouTube videos. And so it would be like, you kind of have to decide, do you want to put a lot of effort into both? Or do you still want TikTok to just be like this fun, happy, like, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I understand times constantly change and everything. I'm saying TikTok is going, if they want to, they can train us to do 10 minute videos. The people running TikTok are very good at that. But at that point, I'm going to be like, they have to be careful because they might get us back to, oh, I can watch a 10-minute YouTube video again.
Right. So, right. And then people are like, yeah, jumping back over.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I thought YouTube was going to die out kind of a while ago, but it's still there. It's not like it was at all. People aren't YouTubers anymore. They're TikTokers, which is totally fine. And if YouTubers don't want to make that switch, that's on them. You gotta keep going wherever people are watching.
Right.
But what I knew never would take off was Instagram Reels.
Or like Facebook Shorts or whatever.
YouTube Shorts. YouTube big TikTok things. And I was like, you guys are just dumb.
Yeah. They tried.
Anyway, That was there anything else? I just went, sorry, I just kind of stole that because that's something I know about.
No, I kind of wanted to tell you, you know, I'm sure you had already heard the news, but I wanted to bring up that subject and get specifically your opinion on it, because obviously, like, you have very much insider information that the general public does not.
Yeah, so. I know people wonder about that a lot, like how much we make on TikTok versus YouTube. If you're an established YouTube channel and you've been around for a while, you'll make a lot more on YouTube than on TikTok. But you can make more on TikTok, but you just got to be one of the top of the tops. Or rely on your fan base to give you money through gifts in the comments and stuff on TikTok lives.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's just kind of what it is. Like, I get more views on TikTok and I have more subscribers on TikTok, but I get more money on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes and if it actually works out.
Yeah, but there's a reason people are constantly like pushing people to other platforms. Like, make sure you're following this. Make sure you're following that. It's to try and get wherever the views are going to be and then also wherever the money's going to be.
Right, right. Yeah. No shame. It's a job.
It is a job. And, like, I want to entertain people. And so I want to know where people are watching. And I always ask what they want to see because I want to entertain you.
Feet pics.
No.
I commented that so many times on your live stream. Send feet pics, feet pics, feet pics. I swear it was monitoring and deleting my comments.
I'm sure. Blaze, this is not time for squeaky toy. He doesn't
care.
What
could be. All right. Do we want to take a slight?
We're gonna take an ad break. Let's check. I love you. We're gonna check to see if we have a sponsor for today. Sponsor, sponsor.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
All right. What's next? What am I going to get angry about next?
This one, I don't know if you'll have much to comment on in the beginning because it is about Euphoria. I know you don't watch the show because it's too heavy, it's fine. I'm a little sad about it, but I'll get over it.
My girlfriend loves it.
It's so addicting. But yeah, you got to be in like the right mindset for it. So Ellen DeGeneres is in the hot seat this week because
I saw.
Yeah, Euphoria star Jacob Elordi, who plays Nate Jacobs on the show, sat down to an interview with Ellen earlier this week. And if you haven't seen Euphoria, there are like an absurd amount of nude scenes.
Yes, because I read that they wanted nudity in the show. They wanted it as real and raw as possible. But for every like woman body part shown, they were going to show a male body part, so because they wanted equality. And I was like, we could just cover it all up. We could just have none of it. We don't have to expose these men or these women as they are supposed to be portraying children,
teens.
So we could do
I have thoughts about that.
We could just not show no peepee, no boobies. We don't have to show. I approve of the equality, but we could have equally covered them.
Exactly. Yeah. So where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So
I don't know. I'm derailing you every 2 seconds this episode.
I like when I get to hear your opinion. It's nice. Yeah. Okay. So when Ellen was interviewing Jacob about these scenes, she said, and this is a direct quote, "You're naked a lot. How does that feel? When they write you into the script, do they say, hey, how do you feel about being naked? To which Jacob replied, you have no choice. Every scene is like, he's sleeping with this person. He does this with this person naked. But it's like, it gets to the point where I've done movies where it's like, my character goes to the mall shirtless. And you're like, why? To which Ellen responded, well, look at you. That's why. So since since her episode aired, fans started calling Ellen out for her response to his comments, suggesting that the host was objectifying and sexualizing the young actor. And someone tweeted the clip with the caption, I don't love Ellen's objectification. Felt kind of like, well, what do you expect? You're hot, so you'll be objectified. And the exchange would likely have caused far more controversy if it had been an older male interviewer making the same comment to a young woman actress.
It wasn't right at all. Like, this is something women deal with all the time. And That right. doesn't mean that men should also deal with it. No one should deal with it. It shouldn't be a thing.
Well, if you watch the interview, he's very clearly uncomfortable. And, like, this is very much a subject that you can tell, like, not that he doesn't like talking about, but, like, you can tell he has opinions that don't align with the show, like, that he doesn't enjoy doing all of these nude scenes. And so he's just kind of trying to give these very, like, neutral answers. And so, like, for the fact that she sat there as an interviewer and saw that he was, like, getting flushed and, like, shying away and retracting into his seat, and then she just said, well, you know, you're hot, so, like, of course.
Deal with
it. It's just...
Yeah. No, it's tone deaf, and it's not right.
Right. And so I think people are especially worked up because all of this happened after multiple insider reports from the cast and the crew about how the majority of the Euphoria's cast feels uncomfortable with the way director Sam Levinson's requests seem to be going. So it's rumored, never confirmed outright, but strongly suggested, allegedly, that Sam Levinson requested Barbie, who plays Kat in the show, who's a very much body positivity activist. He requested that she have an eating disorder storyline for this season. And when she refused, because she's a body positivity activist, which he knew when he hired her, that Sam Levinson allegedly cut her storyline and screen time down as much as possible this season as a punishment for her rejecting the request. There have also been several reports straight from the actors and actresses themselves that Sam Levinson has been called out multiple times this season for excessive requests of nudity or inappropriate scenes, especially between portrayed minors and adults in the show. So main characters like Sydney Sweeney, who plays Cassie, and Alexa Demi, who plays Maddie, have come forward to say that they've had to outright question him in front of other people so that it was, like, heard. After reading the script and seeing all the unnecessary nudity, they had to say that they were uncomfortable with it or that they didn't find it necessary or, like, contributing to the storyline at all. And then I'll give him a slight pass. Once someone came to him and said that they were uncomfortable or didn't find it necessary, he did change the scene as much as he could. But, like, why are you putting it in there in the first place?
I don't trust the dude. He sounds like a little bit of a pervert, allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Like, I get that sometimes, like, I don't cuss on my main channels. I don't. The only place I cuss on the internet is Rachel Uncensored. And sometimes I know when I'm filming, I'd be like, if I could just cuss, this joke would be a lot funnier. This bit would be a lot funnier or something. So I understand, like, sometimes you do want to cross a line because you know it would emphasize something. But I don't, because that's my channels are, you know, PG-13.
Right.
So I understand that sometimes you do need to put nudity in. Or you don't need to, but it would just make that little push better. Or to test something a little bit. But to have it that much unnecessary when people participating are uncomfortable, even though it's like, what, quote unquote, what they signed up for, I don't like it.
Right. I mean, I do understand in today's world, there has to be some sort of sexualized content in order to get people to come and watch it. People aren't going to just watch a show about, you know, a depressed, drug addicted teen where it's just negative, negative, negative the entire time without some sort of
incentive.
But
that's what I'm saying. I get that. Yeah, I know there's always going to be that sometimes you just need to do a little bit.
Right.
It doesn't mean you have to overdo it. And, you know.
Well, I hate that you don't watch it. I watched
one episode.
And you were like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
There was this kind of side actress, although she kind of pulled through at the end. There's a side actress. Her name's Chloe Cherry. I'm like 90% sure she was an adult film star before she got hired onto the show. So she's very, like, you know, you would expect her to play, like, a more provocative role. But basically, like, one of her very first scenes that she was shooting when walking onto set, Sam Levinson asked that she undress completely, like, be whole, you know, bare and out there. And her boyfriend in the scene was supposed to pick her up and shove her into an air vent in order to, like, hide her from people that were looking for her. And you could tell she felt uncomfortable, but was just so grateful to be on the set that she, like, didn't want to say anything or argue with him. So thankfully, the guy on screen that plays her boyfriend turned to the director and was like, dude, I don't understand why she needs to be naked for that. And he was like, oh, okay, I guess you're right. And, like, didn't make her. Like, what are you doing? And then, oh, and the
He's
worst story. Right. The worst story I heard is, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a scene between a very clear, like, older middle-aged woman, like in her 50s, and Zendaya. And the way it had originally been written, when the side character who plays the 54-year-old read the script, she read it and immediately was like, I literally cannot film this because it was so predatory. And so she, like, went to the director, Sam, and was like, this is so uncomfortable. Like, I don't think I can go through with, you know, doing this mm-hmm. predatory scene. And, like, he changed it. But again, why is it in there in the first place?
It sucks that these actors and actresses have to stand up for each other and themselves so much when their job is on the line every time they do it.
Well, and that's what, in all of these interviews where they're telling these stories, that is the main, like, jumping point or, like, main steady point between the stories is, like, I almost didn't say anything because I didn't want to get fired and replaced because everyone's replaceable in Hollywood.
Yes.
Except Zendaya. And so they were like, we almost didn't speak up and say anything, but it made them feel that disgusting having to go through with something that they literally couldn't. So, like, that should show you how bad it is.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. It's just... It sucks. Yeah, because I really like that show. And so, like, I don't want to think anything bad of it. But, like, I also am very thankful that these actors and actresses feel secure enough to come forward and tell these stories when even just 5 years ago, like, they would have been blacklisted yeah. if they said these kind of things.
I know a few actors and actresses. And when they have to do nude scenes, like, just because you're an actor or an actress doesn't make you okay with it. Like,
right.
Like, it doesn't mean they're like, oh, that's what they signed up. They're still human beings and they're still uncomfortable. It's just like they're trying to do their job. Just like a waiter or waitress or a stripper still doesn't want to be smacked on the ass by some random dude as she's walking by. That's her body. That's her choice. It's not what she signed up for. If she's just like a go-go dancer or someone who dances on stage, she did not sign up for that. She signed up to dance on stage and you can look, but you can't touch. So you like, and with actors and actresses, they sign on to act and sometimes there's a nude scene and it doesn't make them uncomfortable with it. So we shouldn't have to keep making them do more and more when that's not what they signed up for.
The problem is not writing these scenes in. The problem is that he continues to do it.
Yes.
Like, your cast has time and time again told you that this makes them uncomfortable and they don't see it necessary. And just because you're accommodating them and changing the scene, like, fine, but, like, stop.
Just get some trying. Help. Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
All right. We can move on from this one. Before yep. we do, let's check to see if we Blaze. Let's check to see if we have another sponsor for today. Sponsor. Blaze is so mad being in this room right now. So I want to go outside. I will go outside afterwards, buddy. All right. What else do we got? We got about
all right
18 more minutes.
Do you want a last news story about Britney Spears?
Yes. I saw so much of her Instagram this week, and that girl looks like she's living a happy life.
She really is. Yeah. So there's a big debate going around the internet right now about Britney Spears and her latest batch of Instagram nudies, we're just gonna call them. During her vacation in French Polynesia earlier this week, Britney Spears went on Instagram and posted some super revealing videos and pictures of herself wandering nude on what seemed to be like an abandoned or empty beach. And in several of the photos, she is completely nude but uses emojis to cover up private areas.
I saw.
Yeah. And in the videos she posts, she uses her hands to cover her boobs, but when readjusting her grip, I swear, I mean, I'm not mad, but I don't know how it didn't get taken down. a little more slipped into view in the videos. So the majority of her fans were in full support and cheering her on and praising her for being so free and open and happy. But then, of course, came the wave of people that took to calling Britney embarrassing and disturbing. So this sparked a huge controversy online. with the people who support her calling the critics hypocritical, claiming that they didn't seem to have an issue with her posing basically nude, just in her underwear for a Rolling Stones cover when she was only 17 years old. But now, because she's older and, I mean, quote unquote, considered middle-aged, they all of a sudden take issue with her nudity.
They don't have an issue with nudity. They have an issue with someone being nude that doesn't fit their version of, like, sexy and pretty.
Exactly. Yeah. So it sparked this whole, like, ageism debate of, like, at what point do you become too old where people will no longer find you sexy, but instead will find you disgusting and embarrassing. So
that's stupid.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I didn't think anything other than she finally gets to post what she wants. I hope she's having fun.
Oh, right. I mean, of course, I opened up Instagram and immediately I was like, whoa. And then I was like, well, all right. Like, I'm not, if you don't like it, keep scrolling or unfollow her. But she's done racy shoots her entire career. That has always been her image, is like this sex model of a singer who's supposed to, like, you know, entice people with her body. But now that she's getting older, everyone's just starting to have a problem with it all of a sudden. And
it's stupid. It's stupid.
Yep. So, yep. All right. Well, that is it for my news stories.
I loved it. All right. Do we have a nod to Gwen today?
We do. Okay. We're going with a weird holiday this week.
Love it.
On March 5th, it was Learn What Your Name Means Day.
I was
worried you're going to be mad when I told you, so I'm glad you know.
It's an ew.
An ew.
It's an ew.
As in a female sheep.
It's a baby sheep. It's just a baby.
I thought ew meant like a female.
It probably does. My mom always just told me I was her little lamb.
That's adorable. I love that. I have some. An ew. So according to babynames.com, you know, the reliable, the name Emily is of English origin, and it means to strive or excel or rival. And it was the highest ranking name for girls in the U.S. from 1996 to 2007. So
wait, was it mean to strive to what? And survival?
Excel or rival.
Or rival. I thought it said survival. I was like, okay.
Working on that one. And then Rachel originates from the Hebrew language and means ew.
I'm from the Bible.
From the Bible, yes. Do you know the story? I'm not good. Nope. Emily, another time. All right.
I do. Was raised in a Christian household. I know the story.
Oh, I forget about that. Yes. Yeah. All right. So, anyway.
We just gotta not talk about religion with you. Continue.
Nope. Nope. All right. The highest percentage of people naming their babies Rachel can be found. Do you want to guess in which state?
Kansas.
Vermont.
Random. I often forget Vermont is a state.
Same.
I think it's a ski resort.
Honestly.
Welcome to the West Coast. We don't know anything about any other states. The East Coast has too many states. Why do you guys got like, you guys have like 40 of the states over there.
I don't think that's accurate, but we do have a lot. We do have a
lot. Got a lot of states. We got like 10 over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. You ready for game time?
Yeah. Hit it me with it.
All right. This game is called Fact Check, where I tell you a random fact about a celebrity or influencer, and you have to guess whether that fact is true or not.
Oh, goodness. Okay, go.
All right. Number one, Kim Kardashian has her assistants remove the cardboard sleeve from her to-go coffee cups because she refuses to do it herself. She says she doesn't like the sound it makes when pulling it off. It's like nails on a chalkboard, so she excuses herself to a different room until it is removed.
That is so elaborate that I kind of want it to be true. Because if it's not, that was a great story.
Thank you.
You wrote that?
No, it's actually, she's been on record saying that story.
I believe that. That is so bizarre. If you were just like, if she just had it removed because she doesn't like it, I'd be like, nah, that's just someone making something diva up. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So that one was true. All right. Number two, before her YouTube days, Emma, oh my God, I cannot speak tonight. I'm also still sick and I'm like getting over it. All right. Before her YouTube days, Emma Chamberlain got caught skinny dipping in a fountain at an outdoor mall in San Mateo County, California. She had to spend 5 hours in county jail until her parents could come and pick her up and pay the $860 fine.
This is elaborate. But I'm
they're all elaborate, so
I'm gonna say no.
No, it was false.
Oh, I'm so good at this. That just jinxed it.
All right, number three. Nicolas Cage and Leo DiCaprio once got in a bidding war over a Mongolian dinosaur skull, which ended in Nicolas Cage paying a whopping $276,000 for the head.
I feel like dinosaur heads are worth more than that. No, I'm going to say it's false. They would have paid more money for that.
It's true.
I would have thought that you were going to say like $3 million.
Well, I don't think it's like a T-Rex head. I think it's like some small little... Because in the article, it did refer to it as a glorified paperweight. So I'm assuming it's like tennis ball size.
I was thinking like T-Rex.
Same.
Okay.
When I first read it, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that was true. All right. So number four, Mike Tyson once reportedly dropped an estimated $2.2 million on a 24-karat gold bathtub for his mansion in Ohio.
Ohio?
I know.
I'm going to say true.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous enough. He's an elaborate human.
Yeah. All right, number five. Channing Tatum once purchased an albino king cobra for the price of $75,000, only to return the reptile 5 days later after it broke out of its enclosure and nearly bit a house cleaner.
I'm going to say no.
You're good at this.
Thank you. He doesn't seem like a snake guy.
He doesn't. Do you want to know who did buy an albino king cobra?
Yes. Shaq?
Nicolas Cage.
Of course he did. He's weird. Allegedly.
All right. Allegedly. Number six. Nicole Kidman once purchased a 737, which is a commercial-sized airplane, for $90 million in hopes of leasing it to a production company to use in the filming of movies and TV. After more than a year passing with no bookings, she sold it back to an airline company for $50 million, taking a $40 million loss.
Who was this?
Nicole Kidman.
I want to believe it. But I'm going to say it's false.
Girl. I thought that one would get you for sure.
I feel like, no, yeah, that one, yeah. I don't know. That one seems ridiculous to spend $90 million when you don't need to.
Right. I mean, honestly, no. Anyway, all right. Number seven, Lady Gaga once spent a whopping $50,000 on an electromagnetic field meter designed to detect poltergeists because she thought she was being haunted by a ghost named Ryan.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. She would.
I've only gotten one wrong.
I know. I'm so proud of you. Maybe I need to make them harder next time.
No, these are all hard. Right. I'm really having to think about this. I have to kind of like know about the person a little bit first, too.
Right. Do like we have time for
we have time for two more? For one or two.
One. Okay. Number eight. Mr. Rogers was actually mandated by production to wear his iconic sweaters while filming his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, because the TV network did not want his arm tattoo showing. Mr. Rogers only ever had one tattoo. It sat on his forearm, and it was of the U.S. Navy crest to commemorate his 16 years serving as a Navy man.
Huh. I know TV back then would make you cover up a tattoo. But a sweater vest? Or a sweater?
You know his iconic sweaters he always wore?
Yeah. I think it's false because I think he could have worn something else.
I hate you. I'm going to make them so much harder next time.
I like that I'm winning.
Yes, that was false. All right, last one. Beyonce had an Australian horsefly named after her after researchers discovered it and thought the hairs on the insect's abdomen bore a striking resemblance to the queen bee's hair herself.
False.
It's true, baby.
I knew it should have been. I only got two wrong. That was good.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, power to me. All right.
Yeah.
Question time. Do you got any for me?
You can choose, because we have time for one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can choose. We still have the one from last week that we didn't use, which is worst teacher / professor experience. Number two is, if a doctor were to tell you you had 24 hours left to live, what would you do with the time you have left? And number three, when you reach the age of 80, what will matter most to you? We got,
I don't want to get into the teacher one. Okay. This isn't Rachel Uncensored, so I won't want to talk about what I would do with 24 hours left. And then, okay, so what, and when I'm 80, what's going to matter most to me?
Yeah. What will matter most to you?
That I'm physically comfortable.
Okay. I read that question more as like,
and then
what was
the people around you?
Okay.
And then that, like, I left a good legacy, and I left the people around me, like the people I'm leaving behind, like my grandkids or my nieces and nephews or my children or whatever I have or do or what, like that they, like, I left them. So, like, I want to leave behind, like, good things and good memories, yeah, and to be able to help them. Like, I have money to leave them so that they can start off life well. But I want to make sure, like, I have good family around me and that I've created a good life. So I'm just surrounded by happiness and I don't have to worry about anything.
I like that. That's very, yeah, that's very similar to what I was thinking. I wanted to make sure that, like, I experienced life to the fullest so that I traveled and did everything that I wanted to do and saw everything that I wanted to see. I wanted to make sure that I made, like, a positive impact, whether that be, like, on an individual level or, like, on a community level. And, yeah, I just want to make sure that I still have people in my life that I love spending time with.
I mean, my family's going to matter the most to me, my friends and family. So I want to make sure, like, I don't treat them terribly or do anything to make them want to leave by the time I'm 80.
Yeah, when you need the most to change your diaper. So
yeah, and I want to be physically comfortable. So I don't want them sticking me in a home. I want them to have, like, a private nurse that's, like, my best friend. Ooh. Who doesn't, like, steal from me or anything, hanging out with me all day. And then, like, the grandkids just come and visit when they secretly just want $20 or $100 from me with inflammation. Right. But I think it's because they think that they love me. So
that's good.
I want to be comfortable and not have any regrets, I guess. But yeah, have just my family and friends.
Same.
Yeah. And I don't want to leave and then go, ah, blast her.
I don't want to leave and people be like, ugh, thankfully. Like, finally. It was about time.
Ah.
Yeah. No, right, exactly.
I want to be healthy so I can live to 90.
I'm like 85, I'm good.
I'm basically like, if I can't get out of a bed and I'm like, no, I don't have any people to come see me. Like, no one's talking to me. It's just me and it's some nurse that hates me and doesn't even say anything. Yeah. I don't want to keep going. But if I'm like still kicking and like doing 4 p.m. dinners down at the diner, like, I want to keep doing it. I'm
feeding
down
the geese in the park at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
As long as I'm still laughing and having fun.
Yeah.
When the laughter stops, I'm done.
Noted. Get that put in your will. Pull the plug when the laughter stops.
I'm in the middle of writing my will right now.
Oh my god,
it's intense.
Leave me Blaze.
Joy gets Blaze. What are you talking about?
I will fight her. I want Blaze.
My girlfriend.
It's not that I don't love Snoop. He doesn't love me. Blaze obsessed with
no,
me.
No, my girlfriend gets Snoop.
There we
and
go.
Then Blaze goes to Joy for sure.
How about we have joint custody? Can we settle on that?
No, because you're gonna undo all the work she's done with him.
I can't argue with you there. Blaze, come here.
She like sleep on the bed with me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Put your head on the pillow.
Oh, you're a mess. I love you.
I know.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. What words? That's all the time we have for today. Don't drink a Red Bull, an entire Red Bull, right before filming. I love you, and make sure you're following us on all things internet podcast on Instagram and podcast ATI on Twitter, and follow us on whatever platform, and also give us a nice little rating if you want. Don't give us a bad one. That's rude.
No.
If you don't anything nice to say, don't say it at all. But if you have something nice to say, say it, please. We'll welcome that.
Yeah. What she said.
Exactly. All right. I love you guys. Emily, do you have any last words?
Love you.
Love you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of All Things Internet. Please make sure to like and follow our podcast on whichever platform you're currently listening to it on. And make sure to follow us at PodcastATI on Twitter, where you can ask questions and get the latest updates on our show. We love you. Thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Ballinger, and this has been All Things Internet.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.